To the Lord in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for this time tonight. Thank you for each one who could come. We thank you, Father, for your word and its truth. Thank you for what we see here tonight, and I pray that you would instruct us in your ways. Teach us as we think about friends. And tonight we want to look at some friends that are not the best kind. And actually not even really friends. And I just pray that you would help us to be taught by this, search our hearts. Thank you, Father, for this in your name. Amen. Andrew, you want to know what the title of this one is? This is called Forever Friends, and then in parenthesis, as long as you have money. End of parenthesis. Forever friends. As long as you have money. Well, we've looked at how to have friends. We've looked at this for a few Sunday evenings, and we have seen in Proverbs 18 that if a person is going to have friends, they need to do something. And what is that? They need to be a friend. If you are going to have friends, you need to be a friend. Well, we're going to look at some this evening and come to the conclusion those really, I don't even know that you could call them friends, although the scripture does, but I think that must be in parenthesis here, or quotation marks, not parenthesis, but because their friendship and their loyalty and their devotion to someone, you just don't find it. We've got some portions of scripture in the book of Proverbs. That's where we're looking at. How do you have friends? Well, here's one way you can have friends. Have money and buy things for people. And you'll be interested to discover how many people want to be your friends. If you're free with your money. But isn't that a sad kind of friendship? In Proverbs 14:20b, that's the last half of that verse. Proverbs 14:20, but I want to read the whole verse, because how true this is. Our topic this evening are these fake friends, financial friends, whatever you want to call them. But in contrast to real friendship, we see in this one verse here, in verse 20 of Proverbs 14, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath what? Many friends. We've all witnessed it, haven't we? As long as somebody has got money and they're buying things for people, interestingly enough, those kind of people don't seem to have any problem having friends around them, if we could call them friends. There's always going to be people around somebody who is, oh, you need here, let me get that for you. Oh, I'd be happy to take care of that for you. Hey, could you use this? I bought this. I don't want it. I used it once and decided I don't need this. I don't want that. And oh boy, you know, that's what a way to buy popularity. What a way to have friends. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, was the one that wrote the book of Proverbs, and it says that the rich hath many friends. The poor one, why, even his own neighbor. If ever there's going to be somebody that you might be able to consider your friend, it should be your neighbor, shouldn't it? You ought to be able to go in the backyard, greet them, talk with them, share with them as you're raking leaves. Don't you love those things that are falling down in our yards? Oh, I'll be glad when they're gone. But the poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Somebody who doesn't have money, I hate to say this, but so many times they're not the kind of people that maybe individuals want to establish a friendship with. Why is that? Are those poor people contagious with some disease or something? How come it is, as we look around, that's just the way it is? The poor people, they don't seem to have a lot of friends. It's almost like they've got it, and if you get near them, you're going to catch it. But the rich, the ones who drive the fancy cars and this, that, and the other thing and are so free with their money, they have many friends. But let me ask you, are those people really their friends? Let's go to chapter 19, verse 4a. 19:4a. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Same thought we saw in 14:20. The poor, even his neighbor doesn't many times want anything to do with him. But if you're wealthy, people like being around you. And it makes a person wonder. That being the case, I think if I were wealthy, I would ask myself, how come these people are around me? Is it because they like my personality? They like my lame jokes? Why is it that these people... The wealth, here's why, wealth. You want to have friends? Be wealthy. You say, well, first chance I get, Pastor, I will. I've been working at that my whole life, trying to be wealthy. Well, there's more to life than money, isn't there? Certainly there is. Look at verse 6 in the last part of that. Many entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Notice the next one, though. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. And how much more do his friends go far from him? They don't want anything to do with him. What a sad commentary these proverbs are to humanity, tonight, aren't they? I mean, we're just given some things that so many times we like to say, yeah, we're a good bunch of people. We're doing all right. Everything is okay with us. And we like to pat ourselves on the back. And yet he goes on and he says, all the brethren of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words. He appeals to them. Hey, come on over. Let's sit down for a cup of coffee. Let's visit. Let's talk. He pursueth them with words, but the bottom line is they are what? They're wanting to him. He doesn't have them. They don't want to be a part of that. What kind of friends are these people? Are they loyal to you? Are they interested in your well-being if they're only there because of what they get from you? I think we know the answer to that, don't we? And here's a question. How many of you are interested in that kind of friends? Could I see your hands? Well, that's what I thought. If I think that someone is my friend, I would like to believe that that's really true. And they're not just hanging around me because they're in hopes that I'll give them something, buy something for them, pay their bill or whatever it is. But we've seen in Proverbs 14 and 19, the rich, the wealthy, those who have money, they have friends. But my question is, what kind of friends are they? Now we're going to take a look in the New Testament and take a look at another individual. And in this story, we're not even going to find the word friends. You read between the lines and you can be sure there was a time when this young man had a lot of friends, because there was a time when he was going through money like it was candy on Halloween. Who am I talking about? The prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, as I said, you're not going to find the word friend there, but just use your imagination as we think of this story. It starts at verse 11 of Luke 15, and it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods, or the share of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, divided unto them, unto those two sons, the estate. And it tells us not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Like I said, he took the money bag, he took his inheritance, and he got away from home. That's what so many, I can't wait to get away from mom and dad. And he, it says he wasted it all in riotous living. Now here, use your imagination. Can't you just see all the buddies that that son had as he was there in town spending money like there is no end to it, buying everybody their drinks and providing for all the entertainment and this, that, and the other thing. He spent his whole inheritance in riotous living. No shortage of friends, you can be sure. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. In other words, he had nothing. Question comes to my mind, hey, Mr. Prodigal Son 1, where are all of your friends now? Where are all of these that helped you waste your inheritance as you were living it up, as you were spending money like there's no end to it? Where are your friends now? Now, the shoe's on the other foot. They were happy to spend all your money, and you now have needs. He began to be in want. He didn't have anything. Surely he could call up Joe or Fred or Bill or Charlie, and they would help him out, wouldn't they? No. The money was gone. And so was their interest in and friendship with this young man. He spent it all, and now he is out there all alone. And do his friends care? No. So we know the story. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. We know the story as it continues on. He was so hungry. None of his friends would help him. He had wants, he had needs, he didn't have food. And the only way he could even sustain himself is to go work for a pig farmer, slopping the hogs. And he got so hungry. You know what was looking good to him? The pig slop. He hadn't had anything to eat. And he caught himself thinking, that doesn't look half bad. That doesn't look half bad. And then he came to his senses and he realized that the servants back home, dad, he was so anxious to get away from, my dad's servants, his hired hands, don't have any needs. My dad provides enough for them. He takes care of all their needs. You know what? I'll just go and ask Dad if he'd hire me as a hired hand. At least I would have something to eat. And that's exactly what he intended to do. And we know Dad wasn't about to make him a hired hand. Dad was watching and waiting for that wayward son to come back home. And when he saw him off in the distance, it tells us that the dad ran and welcomed him home. And the son started to saying, "Dad, I'm not even, it's not even fit for me to be called your son. Make me a servant." And Dad wouldn't listen to it. He sent the word. He said, "Tell everybody my son is home. We are going to have a party. I thought he was dead and gone, but here he is." He had no friends. Money will never buy lasting friendship. And if we have some foolish thought in our mind that if I just had a little bit more money, I bet he or she, they, I bet we could have their friendship. That's not how friendship works. To have friends, you must be a friend. And you be a friend from the heart, with genuineness. And as I thought about these Proverbs and this parable that the Lord told here in Luke chapter 15, I thought, you know, as Christians, we need to see these verses, these truths, we need to look at them with caution. Because I've never met a person who does not struggle with selfish human nature. Have any of you ever met someone that does not have selfish human nature? We all, I hate to admit it, but we all have it, don't we? And we need to make sure, we need to guard against using people as friends, having someone begin to believe that we're really their friend, when in reality, we like being around them because they're free with paying the bills, giving things. They've got money, but they think we need to be careful as Christians that we don't get caught up on the other side of the coin, that we don't use people, giving them the false idea that we really are their friends. What's going to happen when things get lean? Are you still going to be calling up that person? You're still going to be dropping by to visit them? Their money is gone. They've lost their job. And now what? Are they still going to know that you are their friend? Or are you going to just kind of back away from them because you never really liked their personality that much, but you sure liked the presents they would buy you? You say people wouldn't be like that, would they? Sure they will. And we need to be careful. In Proverbs 17:17, Solomon said this. He said, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loveth at all times. Doesn't matter whether he or she, you or they, have money. They are your friend, and you care about them. You see, a true friend cares more about the person than the presents they offer. A true friend is really interested in the person. And it doesn't matter whether they have money or they don't. You just like the person for who they are. And you want to become acquainted. You want to be friendly. You want to share with them. True friends contribute to the well-being of the other person. Did you hear what I said? True friends contribute to the well-being of the other person. You mean contributions of money, right, Laura? Right, Pastor? No. True friends are going to contribute support, encouragement, loyalty. It has nothing to do with money. Well, we've seen tonight forever friends. As long as you have money. I trust the Lord will instruct us, help us take this to heart, help us search our own hearts, the category of our own friends. Do you have any people that think you're their friends, but in reality, the only reason you hang around them is because you kind of like the fact that they're always buying you things and spending money, and you benefit from it? Do you really enjoy their personality and just their company? That's what a true friend is. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for what we've seen this evening. Thank you for these warnings. Thank you for the truth of these passages, and keep us, Father, from being the wrong kind of a friend. May our motives be pure, honest, in relationships we make with other people. May they know we are their friends because that's who we truly want to be. Whether they are wealthy or whether they are poor. Help us to take this to heart. Dismiss us with your blessing. In your name I pray, amen.